You're listening to audio from St. Luke Church in Lexington, Kentucky. If you'd like to learn more or donate to this ministry, please check out our website at stlukelex.com.
It is my great joy and honor to introduce to you the person who's teaching for us today. Mike and his wife Cheryl came to St. Luke many years ago. Mike came here, and his family came here from Texas, where he was serving as a pastor, and he worked at Asbury Seminary as the director of alumni relations, and he and his family started worshiping here, and then connected in service, and Mike's ministry in service continues to have an impact, and I think he'll probably speak to that in a little bit, but he and his family served here really, really well in some important ways in our ministries, and then Mike was also working on his doctorate and PhD work, and then he went on to pastor a couple of churches, and now he is serving as a professor of spiritual formation at Asbury Theological Seminary. Now, all that sounds pretty lofty, right? It's like, whoo, Mike, yeah. But let me also say this, Mike is an awesome, humble person, and he's a heck of a lot of fun to be around. And so it is really great. And his wife, he and his wife Cheryl, worship here again now. They're usually in the 9:30 service, but they're back here worshiping again. So it really is my great joy and privilege to introduce him to those of you who don't know him, and to join me in welcoming Mike today. Thank you.
Well, you're applauding now. Wait. I tell you, it has been so wonderful for Cheryl and me to reconnect with St. Luke over the past several months. You'll usually find us at the 9:30 worship service, and we just love being part of this family again. We have so many great memories of this church. I mean, you all helped raise our kids. And I mean, we're just so thankful for that. And this congregation gave me a really rare opportunity in ministry to work with children from elementary age all the way through high school. Some of the kids that I worked with in kindergarten in God's backyard were in the youth group when I was a youth director here. So we really got to know each other well. Maybe a little too well in a couple of instances. When a couple of them started showing up in my seminary classes, I was afraid of all the stories they'd tell because they had a lot hanging over me. Where's Amanda Drawn? Is she here? Yeah, there she is. And what's wonderful for me is that as a professor at Asbury Seminary, every once in a while I have an opportunity to extend St. Luke's ministry around the world, as I teach discipleship concepts of God's backyard and the youth group in one of my seminary classes. So students are able to take some of the training in what it means to form children into disciples from God's backyard, for example, to their churches. So the reach that St. Luke has continues to go around the world, and I'm just so thankful for it. Okay, before we get started, I need to do something. I need to apologize for something. I couldn't feel like I could bring forth the word without trying to make amends here. I think I need to apologize for the gorilla suit in worship incident several years ago. Yeah, maybe I should just move on from that. All right, it's no surprise that over the years, I've seen numerous people who have been intimidated by prayer, especially when it comes to praying in front of other people. For example, I've been in occasions when I'd ask if someone would like to start our time together with prayer, and you know what happens. Everybody's head goes straight down. Or in recent years, oh, I've got something wrong with my phone. So they stare at the phone. It's like a child who covers their eyes and says, "Can't see me. I see you." I know what you're doing. And I know why you're doing it. Because you're terrified I'm going to call on you to pray. Now, you may be surprised that this fear of praying in public has been true for some of my seminary students as well. In a class on prayer, in a master's degree in Christian spiritual formation. And I think for students, they're afraid that they're going to say something in their prayer that's not theologically sound or not spiritual enough. We put all these pressures on ourselves, don't we? You know, as I've thought about it, the only time that I've regularly received multiple volunteers to pray out loud in a group is when I was leading the God's Backyard worship service here at St. Luke. See, children are not intimidated to talk to God. And I think they have the secret to helping us when it comes to prayer. For those of us who are adults, maybe we have a hard time praying just on our own because of mistakes we've made in the past. We're too ashamed to go to God. And for public prayer, maybe prayer is like a performance for us. We're intimidated because we want to do it well in front of other people. Maybe we think people won't think we're holy enough if our prayer isn't angelic. Many years ago, when I was a pastor in rural Texas, I was in the handshake line after worship. 92-year-old Daisy Bass came to the door. She put both of her hands in mine. And she said, "Pastor, you know I love you." I knew it was coming. "Pastor, you know I love you, but I really didn't care for that prayer this morning." Well, I knew I was about to take a chance with my response, but I went for it. "Well, that's okay, Miss Daisy. I was talking to God, not to you." Now, Miss Daisy, all 92 years old, she did a little flinch. And then she laughed and gave me a big hug. She said, "You're right. That's why I love you so much." Now, for the record, I found out at lunch Cheryl didn't have the same reaction that Ms. Daisy did to my response. And to keep marital bliss, I've never done that again. See, prayer is simply talking with God. It's sharing the deepest places of our hearts with him. Our scripture passage today isn't explicitly about prayer, but as we'll see, implicitly, it's all about prayer. And it's from 1 Corinthians 13. Hear the word of the Lord this morning. Paul writes, "If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends." Thanks be to God for his holy word. So we hear 1 Corinthians 13 and we say, okay, this is about love for each other. I don't know how many times in weddings that I've officiated we've used this passage of scripture. It's preached around Valentine's Day, even though Paul wasn't writing about, you know, that kind of love. Paul writes that even if he were to do all kinds of things in the name of Christ and for the sake of Christ, but not have love, it would be worthless. So this morning, I'd like to approach 1 Corinthians 13, not from the front door, but from the side door coming in from the garage. See, I believe 1 Corinthians 13 has everything to do with our approach to prayer. Now, I want you to stay with me here. We have lots of pieces to put together. Hopefully, it'll all come together for us. So, if 1 Corinthians 13 is about love, what kind of love? Well, as many of you all know, the word for love that Paul uses here is agape, which can mean selfless love, life-giving love, unconditional love. It describes God's love for us, and it's love that should be manifest in our lives. So, as we entered this passage of Scripture from the side door coming in from the garage, how might it change our understanding of 1 Corinthians 13 if we focus on Paul describing our love for God? See, the agape love that Paul describes in 1 Corinthians 13 includes God's love for us, our love for each other, and our love for God as well. So if we look at this passage by narrowing the focus to our agape love for God, it might sound something like this. If I speak in the languages of mortals or even angels, but do not have love for God, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, but do not have love for God, I'm nothing. If I give away all my possessions, hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love for God, I gain nothing. Love for God is patient. Love for God is kind. Love for God is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude, does not insist on its own way. It's not irritable or resentful. Love for God does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. Love for God bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Doesn't that give some nuance to 1 Corinthians 13? Wow. You know, several of our church fathers lived centuries ago have written of this very dimension of 1 Corinthians 13. For example, in the early 6th century, Cassiodorus wrote that if we don't include our love for God in this chapter, then we won't know how to love other people with God's love. See, we can pray the most beautiful prayers imaginable. We could even have a reputation for our moving, articulate prayers. We could spend an hour a day in silent prayer. Oh, wouldn't that make us holy? But if we don't have a selfless love for God, which leads to love for others, those prayers are like noisy gongs or clanging cymbals. But Mike, I hear you saying, duh, we all love God. We're Christians in the Kentucky Bible Belt. Of course we love God. But I ask you, do we really? Set that thought aside. We're going to come back to it. See, when we focus on the style of prayer or the occasion of prayer or even on the discipline of prayer, the focus can become our activity and not the Lord. It's easy for prayer to become something we do out of obligation and tradition, isn't it? Like, hurry up and say grace and keep it short, the food's going to get cold. Are we really praying when we do that? Now, not all obligation's bad. I mean, we have a responsibility to the Lord for how we live our lives, don't we? One aspect of Christian discipleship is humble obedience to God. But when we feel like we have to talk to God as part of our Christian responsibility or obligation, what do you think God's response might be to that? Gee, thanks a lot. You only talk to me when you have to? Have you ever read a book or a page in a book and said to yourself, I have no idea what I just read? I have to read that page over again. Our minds are somewhere else as we're reading. It's easy for our prayers to become rote and mindless as well, isn't it? John Wesley actually calls that a disgrace to Christianity. Ouch. Sometimes when we pray, we're not really praying at all. Have you ever been someplace and they just pray through the Lord's Prayer so quickly, it's like, what did I just say? Thankfully, we don't do that here at St. Luke, but I've been places where the Lord's Prayer is like, boom, 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 boom. We don't know what we're saying. Why do we pray so mindlessly and quickly sometimes? To paraphrase John Wesley, he said, when we pray, do we mean what we're saying from the bottom of our hearts? If not, then when we mindlessly recite the words of any prayer, are we actually insulting the privilege of what it means to pray? That's a tough question. So again, I ask you, do we really love God? See, with our shift in 1 Corinthians 13, here's how the chapter would end in those famous words. Now, faith in God, hope in God, and love for God abide, these three. And the greatest of these is love for God. John Chrysostom, in his commentary on this chapter, wrote that when we get to heaven, we're not going to need faith anymore, because we're going to be in God's presence. He said, when we get to heaven, we're not going to need hope anymore, because we've received the promised hope of salvation. He said, all that's going to remain in heaven is our love for God. And that is why he said Paul gives it priority here. Have you known couples who have spent a lifetime together and they're just still madly in love with each other? Immediately, Pastor Lowell and Betty Langfield come to my mind. I mean, how cute were they walking around holding hands and stuff? I mean, and you've known other couples like them. They have such an endearing love for each other, they don't have to be doing anything. They just love spending time together. Does that describe your love for God? You just love spending time with him? Let's put all these pieces together. If we love God, and I mean truly love God, prayer is not going to be a struggle for us, because we just love spending time with God. The more we talk with God, the more our love for God will deepen, because we're spending dedicated time with God. Think about somebody that you love dearly. If having a conversation with them is an obligation, you might want to reassess your love for them. When we're talking with somebody that we love, we don't rehearse what we're going to say. We try to get all the words right. We just talk. Now, time out here. The only exception is when I've done something I know Cheryl's not going to appreciate. I 100% rehearse what I'm going to say. And calculate the timing, because timing's everything, right, guys? That's the only time. But for example, when we've done something that we know we shouldn't have done, when we've wronged God, we don't have to rehearse or get the words right just to talk with him. And I think that's because the love of God is deeper than we'll ever realize in our lives on earth. He's not concerned about us getting every word right when we talk with him. He just loves to hear from us. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, Paul writes that we're to pray without ceasing. And you may be thinking, well, that's easy for Paul to write. He hasn't seen my schedule. How in the world can I fit that in? But see, if we can remember that God is with us, and that the Holy Spirit lives in us 24 hours a day, our entire day can be one long prayer. It's having an awareness of God's presence everywhere we go. This can allow us to pray without ceasing. And it's all based on our love for God. You may have heard of a person in church history named Brother Lawrence of the Resurrection. He was a monk in Paris in the 1600s. And by his own admission, Brother Larry was a terrible monk. Other monks would roll their eyes. He just was not a good monk. He'd fall asleep during their prayer times. They'd have to hit him with a stick to wake him up. He'd get distracted in his own personal prayer, couldn't concentrate. To put it in sports terminology, if Brother Lawrence was a monk, he barely made the cut. He just, and he fully admits this. But because his love for God was so deep, he knew that even though he wasn't a very disciplined monk, his life could become one long conversation with God. So when Brother Lawrence was mending shoes or doing the dishes, he was talking with God. See, God is always speaking to us. In every moment of every day, it's impossible for us to start a prayer. Did you know that? Because God's already been talking to us. The problem is that we're not always listening for Him. If we live with a constant awareness of God's presence, then we're able to hear the whisper of God even in the chaos of daily life. But you know, I think there's another aspect of our love for God that affects our prayer life, and that's our motivation. In the Old Testament, the word for love means to love someone is to seek what's best for them, regardless of the cost to yourself. So if we love someone for our own sake, that's not really a full expression of love, is it? Love is selfless. If we want to deepen our prayer life because it will improve our lives, what does that say about our love for God? Lord, I love you so that you can bless me. Lord, I want to increase my prayer time with you because it's good for me. That's pretty selfish love for God, if we're honest. It all comes back to us. Now, certainly the Lord blesses us. But what if we engaged in a time of prayer, not seeking anything from God other than to sit in His presence? That's all. We don't need, if the Lord is who He is, what else could we ask for? Lord, you're enough. If our focus is trying to get better at prayer, then I wonder if we ignore the teaching in Hebrews 12:2, which tells us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Sometimes we can spend so much time trying to become better at prayer or other means of grace that our eyes are more on ourselves than on the Lord. This can be a danger, honestly, in the Methodist holiness movement, because we can focus so hard at following the do's and don'ts of holiness that we're not even following Jesus anymore. We were at a popular breakfast place in Dallas having a Saturday feast with our kids and their spouses and our baby granddaughter, Alice, when our server delivered 6 plates of deliciousness to our table by balancing all of them on her arm. Have you ever seen a server do that? She walked all the way, 6 big plates of pancakes and bacon and eggs, everything. I was astonished. I said to her, now that was impressive. How do you do that? Without any pause at all, she said, well, I don't think about balancing the plates on my arm. I just focus on the table ahead of me. If we focus on improving our prayer life And maybe on, not even on, I don't want to disappoint God. Then our eyes are on our prayer life and not on Christ. When we truly love God, we're naturally going to want to talk with Him. He's not going to become an afterthought in our day. And when we love God this way, we're better able to share our lives with Him more completely. Our hopes, our disappointments, our fears, our sorrows, our frustrations, our joys. And y'all, this is why the hidden secret to prayer is something that most children already know. Why is it so easy for many children to pray? It's because they love and trust Jesus with their lives, and they love talking with Him. And remember, Jesus tells us to be like them, not like the mature, cynical, untrusting, rational adults that we are. Listen, all of this is quite easy. Don't complicate this. When we remember God's love for us and our love for God, prayer becomes natural because we just love spending time and talking to God. Allow the Holy Spirit to deepen your love for God. And what's going to follow is a desire to spend time with the Lord in prayer, no matter where you are. You have those silent conversations with Him because you have an awareness that He's right here with you, waiting to talk. Let's pray together. Will you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your love for us. I don't even think, Lord, we'll ever be able to fully understand it or grasp the depths of it. Lord, forgive us for saying that we love You, but then living a different way. Lord, forgive us for striving so hard in trying to pray that we forget You in the process. Lord, I pray for everyone who is in the sound of my voice that Your Holy Spirit will come upon them, deepen their love for You. That no matter where they are in their crazy schedules, day-to-day schedules, they'll have an awareness that You're right there with them, speaking to them. Lord, You don't have to do this as our God, but You invite us into Your life in prayer, and we thank You. And we pray this in Your precious and holy name. Amen.